Mayon volcano is under close watch for an imminent eruption. And one of the symptoms is the swelling of its surface. That swelling is symptomatic of lava buildup inside, and soon it will spew out that lava, and we will have an eruption, well, God forbid. Now, it is for this buildup and eruption that human temper is sometimes described as being volcanic. There are personalities who choose silence when inside there is seething resentment build up. May mga ganyang personalidad na kalmadong-kalmadong tingnan, pero sa loob ay namumuo na ang galit. An explosion is bound to happen, and when it does, relations are destroyed, sometimes beyond repair. Now, such an explosion transpired between Paul and the Corinthian church. Relations were destroyed. But Paul works for restoration. And 2 Corinthians is a model of such restored relationship with those who repented. The majority of the church repented and now in the process of restoration with the Apostle Paul. But a minority remains opposed to the Apostle. And we are now in that section where Paul is making comparison and contrast with the ministry of his opponents. Sinasalungat ni Pablo ang kanyang saloobin, ang kanyang ministeryo sa ministeryo at mensahe ng mga kumakalaban sa kanya. And the contrast is seen in the attitude of Paul, one of humility as a clay jar entrusted with treasure. And the treasure, of course, is the message of the gospel. That message dictates the attitude of the messenger. Now, we know that the charge of the super apostles, as Paul called his opponents, was that Paul has suffered so much, and they are making that fact the reason or the rationale for their charge against Paul, that he is not a true servant of God. Because if he is God's true servant, why would God permit such suffering to visit Paul so much? Now, Paul turned around the charge by saying that it only proves how true his message is in that he is willing to suffer for such a message. And we saw last week that believing the message compels speaking it despite suffering for it. But now, what does this mean in the actual life of the apostle, in the actual life of the believer? He has the message. He believes the message. But what does it do to one's life? And you may ask yourself the same question. I believe the message, I believe the gospel, I believe God's word, but what is it doing to my life? Apostle Paul will answer that in two dimensions of time. Today, verse 16 will answer that in terms of the present progress of the believer's life. And in verses 17 and 18, God willing, we shall look at them next week, the bearing of the message on one's future. So I invite you to turn your Bibles to a singular text for this afternoon, 2 Corinthians 4:16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. So we do not lose heart. Though our outward man is wasting away, our inner man is being renewed day by day. As I've said, verses 16 to 18 are related. They are telling us the bearing of the message on one's daily living. Verse 16 pertains to the present time. Verses 17 and 18 pertain to the preparation for eternity and the final state. So our focus is on now. What is the message doing to your life? Well, this is my message. While enduring external infirmity, the servant is enjoying internal renewal regularly. Habang iniinda ang panlabas na kahinaan, ang lingkod ay nakakaranas ng pagbabagong panloob na tuwi-tuwi na. While enduring external infirmity, the servant is enjoying internal renewal regularly. Now, Paul comes back to his original point. Remember how chapter 4 opens with the assertion, we do not lose heart. And he explains what that means. Now, he comes back to it on verse 16. In verse 16, again, the same words, we do not lose heart. And he explains two opposite processes that are going on in light of the message he bears. Now, that process is ongoing in the life of the Apostle Paul then, but while this is personal to Paul, he generalizes it by using the plural we. In other words, I, together with others who believe the message like I do, we experience this. And what are the two opposite processes that go on? First, consciousness of perishing condition. Kamalayan ng nasisirang kalagayan. Consciousness of perishing condition. And secondly, experience of renewing character. Karanasan ng nagpapanibagong katangian. Experience of renewing character. So first of all then, when one believes the message, what happens? Well, one is that there will be a consciousness of perishing condition. Mamamalaya niya ang kanyang kahinaan, ang kanyang karupukan sa kanyang kalagayan. Now, there is an important explanation here because of the contrast between outward man perishing and the inward man renewing. Many misunderstand this to mean the contrast of body and soul, as though the outward man is the body and the inward man is the soul, and that is wrong. It is both the whole man. The outward man is simply the whole man seen externally, while the inward man is the whole man experienced internally. And what is Paul saying about the man as seen externally? Well, what we learn from the Apostle Paul is that it is part of humility to admit our perishing condition with consciousness of our infirmities. Bahagi ng kababaang loob ang aminin ang ating mga nasisirang kalagayan at namamalayan ang sarili nating mga kahinaan. Before this verse, in this chapter, Paul has been giving hints of that consciousness. He describes himself as a clay jar, breakable. And then he also uses the figure being delivered to death, like a captive being delivered to the executioner. That's how Paul felt in the situation he was in. The super apostles boast of their credentials. Now that probably includes strength and physical fitness. But as Paul would catalog in a later section, he has had his share of physical pain, rendering him infirm. Marami siyang pinagdaanan, alam natin yan. At ang mga pinagdaanan na yon ay hindi siya masasabi nating nasa pinakamainam na kalakasan. He has been left infirm by all those trials and afflictions. But rather than hiding that, he readily admits to it. It is like Paul is saying, look at me from the outside, you'll see a man wasting away. In fact, Paul uses a very strong word in Greek which denotes total destruction. Sometimes it is used in warfare, and when used in warfare, it has the meaning of annihilation. Annihilate the enemy. And Paul is saying, this is what's happening to me externally. I'm going to be annihilated. There will be a time, someday, there will be no Paul even to see externally. And the most obvious component of that human infirmity is mortality. Ang pinaka nakikitang sangkap ng kahinaan ng tao ay ang kanyang mortalidad. And Paul is very conscious of it. And we naturally cringe from the spectacle of death. Whether we see it in a wake, an accident, a criminal tragedy, every encounter with death and the dying is a reminder of our own appointment with the inevitable. So we would rather not think of death. There is that sense of remorse or regret that after investing so much in this world, we are bound to leave it behind. But you see, it is part of human pride to divest of thoughts of mortality. And this probably is what the super apostles were doing. To build up confidence, take away thoughts of mortality and infirmity. Well, not Paul. And a man of humility will have to follow his own model of admitting his infirmity, conscious of our infirmity. And if you ask why, I suggest that out of his experience with Corinth, Paul discovered what I would call the theology of weakness. Natuklasan ni Pablo ang katuruan ukol sa kahinaan. Nangyari ito nang may tinukoy siyang tinik sa kanyang laman na pinanalangin niyang tanggalin, ngunit hindi tinanggal. And instead, there was that encounter with Jesus when the Lord Jesus explains to him in chapter 12, verse 9 of 2 Corinthians, he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now, this is not morbid inferiority. This is simple, realistic admission of one's infirmity so that he would stand in need of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some people don't see that. And it is immaturity on the part of Christians to fail to see that. Well, we all know sometimes through the angle of the sun, your shadow can be taller than you are. But that's a shadow. And some people would rather believe the shadow than the substance of the body. They want to see themselves taller. But it's a shadow. And any idea of you being stronger than you really are is just a shadow. Instead, the challenge for us is cultivate familiarity with your personal infirmities with humble admission. Linangin natin ang kaalaman ng sarili nating mga kahinaan at karupukan at aminin natin ito na may kababaang loob. As in the case with Paul, so with us. It must include a consciousness and admission of mortality. And this is where man is showing his genius. Man has employed his genius to create means that effectively evade thoughts of mortality. By his art, man produced amusements to make death even entertaining. You watch the film and you are entertained by people dying there. But it is always others dying. And you don't want to think of the reality of death as it pertains us. By science, technology has been invented to mask the appearance of aging. Did you know that in America, testosterone treatment is a $2 billion industry because of men who are insecure about losing it? Others live a lifestyle of 24/7 occupation, whether it's work or leisure. And it's 24/7 away with thoughts of death. Time magazine recently ran a cover story which shows the newly invented Apple Watch, and the apt title is "Never Offline." And that's what man does, just to divest himself of thoughts of death. Anything to get a thought of dying of the mind. And they succeed, that is, they succeed to get it off their mind, but they fail to be anything but mortal. Remember, we read names followed by a parenthesis. And the parenthesis shows 2 years. The year of birth, the year of death. And yet we know that represents a whole lifetime. How dare they represent a whole lifetime by a mere parenthesis? Precisely because of its brevity. And someday my name is going to be written followed by a parenthesis. And so will yours. And if you don't get real with mortality, it is giving you illusion that becomes pride. The answer to mortality is not to get it off your thought. The answer is something that has already happened 2,000 years ago, when the God who became man entered the realm of death and exited it by resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't have Christ ruling your life as Lord and Savior, you have no answer to death. None in science, none in amusement, none in gadgets. And when we tend to forget God as His ways of reminding us of our infirmity, through our infirmity, just like Paul's thorn in the flesh. So it is wisdom and humility to be familiar with your own infirmities. It may be physical infirmity. It may be mental infirmity. You tend to forget things now. Or it may be other infirmities that are impressed upon you. But from that familiarity with your weakness, the message of Paul concerning weakness will resonate. Listen to him in 2 Corinthians 13:4. For he was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him. But in dealing with you, we will live with him by the power of God. What more pathetic spectacle of weakness could there be than the Son of God crucified? All kinds of infirmities combined on the cross. Physical, as he was crucified there, unable to move. Yet the thought of it gives strength. This was a testimony of the famous Joni Erickson Tada, the Christian woman who became quadriplegic, unable to use her hands and legs after a diving accident. For the initial period when she sustained that damage on her body, she lived in depression. And then a friend counseled her by reminding her, on the cross, Jesus was quadriplegic. There's physical weakness. There's social weakness and infirmity. It was the worst punishment that could attend the worst criminal in the Roman Empire. And Jesus was suffering it. But none like the spiritual component of it, that when Jesus was on the cross, he was being judged by God the Father because he was bearing the sins of the world. That's why there is no other Savior than Jesus. Thus, when a Christian feels his weakness, he can assert something that no one else could. And this is what Paul says, we are weak in him. Tayo ay mahinang kalakip niya. Hindi tayo mahinang sa sarili lamang natin, kundi ang kahinaan maging kahinaan ng Kristiyano ay kahinaang maaari niyang danasin. Kalakip ng Panginoong Hesus Kristo. So to fail to admit weakness out of pride is to deprive oneself of this aspect of our union with Christ. We are weak, yes, but we are weak in Him. The Reformed confessions, including the 1689 Baptist confession that we are studying, use the same words to describe the incarnation of Jesus Christ, that He took all the essential properties and common infirmities of man, yet without sin. Lahat ng mga katangian at ang mga karaniwang karupukan maliban sa kasalanan. So you sometimes wonder, did he ever have a fever? Did he endure a pulled muscle? Those are common infirmities, and I like to believe he did. And now when we go through some of these infirmities, say with Paul, weak in him. So this is one process that's going on a day-to-day basis. When a man believes his message, he is ready and conscious to admit his perishing condition. And yet, the opposite process that is going on is experience of renewing character. Karanasan ng nagpapanibagong katangian. Experience of renewing character. And again, the inward man refers to the whole man as internally experienced. And there's no better way to put it than character. And what it teaches us is that Christian sanctification of character is an ongoing occupation of a lifetime. Ang pagpapabanal ng karakter ay tuloy-tuloy na gawain ng buong buhay ng isang mananampalataya. Paul first sees the bearing of the message upon the present, and in verse 17 and 18, upon the future, but as far as the present is concerned, how do you define your occupation in this lifetime? If you define it by your vocation, you are only partly correct. For Paul, what is unending is this process of renewing. You'll retire from your vocation one day. But the process of ongoing renewal is a lifetime. Paul uses a word that means changing by having something new with implication of becoming better. But the inward man's renewing, or as far as the outward man is concerned, there will be a cut-off point. When you reach that cut-off point, no matter what you do to your body, you will not regain youthful vigor. It will be a downward slide. And no amount of medicine and supplement or whatever will regain the health of youth. But the inward man's renewing has no cut-off point. When he no longer is capable of becoming better. There is a time for the body that no matter what you do, it will not be better. But the inward man is not dependent on food or supplement, but on the message and on the word. And so we can say with Paul, by his resolve written in another letter, Philippians 3:13, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. For Christian growth, there is always ahead. Para sa paglagong Kristiyano, laging may mangyayari pa. Hindi ka nakarating sa puntong wala na. And there are things that we need to still strive to mortify to be better. The sewerage system is an essential structure in every city, but much of which is underground. The sewerage system is the means of eliminating waste. The first city that installed a sewerage system in history was London. And when they installed that sewerage system, there was a dramatic rise of longevity among the citizens of London. As they were enabled to eliminate waste, they improved in their quality of life. And the same is true with our Christian life. If we are not eliminating waste and filth, there will be no improvement. And that is why there is always that proportionate process in which we mortify our sins, cultivate graces, and it is a lifetime. So my challenge to you, as I challenge myself, have specific projects of renewal on a daily basis. Magkaroon ka ng mga gawain, proyekto ng pagpapanibago sa araw-araw. You might miss the last words of this text or take them as nothing more than an additive afterword, but Paul says day by day. Paul is really experiencing this becoming better on a daily regularity. And what a challenge to us. If you are a disciple, your day is not just work day, not just class day, not just chores day, and indeed not just rest day. If you are a disciple, it is renewing day to be better in something of your character. And some think that they no longer need to do that. They think they have reached a plateau that they do not want to go higher anymore. There was this scholar who wrote a book that argues for the Baptist position on church and baptism. And yet he himself remained pedo-Baptist. When he was asked why he did not convert to becoming a Baptist, after all, he argued the Baptist position very persuasively. His answer was, I am too old to change. And what a sad testimony when a Christian comes to a conclusion, I am too blank to change, and put in something in the blank. I am too busy to change. I am too occupied with my work to change. I am too problematic to change. When you say anything that tells you can no longer change for the better, you have been ensnared. You have been entrapped. We just sang a song that suggests a multiplicity of projects, strivings within, joy in sacrifice, joy in service, more praise for relief, more sorrow for sin. And all of those are genuine Christian projects for day to day. Let the breadth and beauty of our message bear on your day to day work, chores, vocation. A day is not lived to its fullest if there is nothing new made for you inwardly. Have a project. And Paul's message motivated him to such day-by-day renewing, and let the message motivate you. But perhaps I'm speaking to one who has no message at all. What you have are thoughts of the world and no gospel message. And again, I challenge you to give your life to the Lord Jesus in the most wonderful message on earth. But because of the message for Paul, no matter that there is a wasting of the outward man, there is that satisfaction in the inward man. One Christian who demonstrated very evidently this combination of perishing and yet renewing was William Cooper. He was not just wasting physically, he was wasting mentally. He was ill of a mental illness that would often drift him back to darkness. And yet, whenever he would recover enough, he would compose songs or hymns that to this day we are still singing. And we will sing as our last hymn one of those hymns by William Cooper, in which he desired to have a closer walk with God. But let this be our resolve. What a tragedy for a Christian if he has lost his heart in the cause of renewing despite the perishing. So let us resolve with Paul, though the outward man is perishing and we can do nothing about that, but the inward man is renewing day by day. There is no retirement to that. There is no vacation from it. There is no resting at it. You must resolve that day-to-day renewing until a parenthesis will follow your name. That is the Christian occupation. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos at mabuting Ama, tulungan mo na maangkin din namin ang sinasabi rito ni Apostol Pablo ukol sa timbang ng mensahe sa kanyang buhay, na magkaroon kami sa aming karanasan sa kabila ng pagkasira ng aming panlabas na pagkatao ay naroon ang pagpapanibago ng panloob na pagkatao. We pray that we may have that consciousness of our perishing condition, chief of which is mortality. However long we live, someday our lifetime will just be represented by a parenthesis. And we pray that we may learn to accept it, learn to be humbled by it, and also by it we may be driven to the cross and there see the one crucified in weakness, but raised in the power of God. And in our weakness, only believers can say we are weak in Him. May we not be deprived of this aspect of our union with Christ for failure to admit our infirmity in our mortality. But we thank you that even amidst our perishing condition, it is our favored lot to experience renewing character. And it should be a day-by-day renewing. So grant that we may be truly challenged to see what projects of renewal we can pursue on a day-to-day basis. But it is not right that a day is spent simply as work day, as chores day, as rest day. But it must be a renewing day. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to where we should find this renewing to apply. And may we say with the Apostle Paul that we are being renewed day by day until the last day of our lives. So be with us in the application of this. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.